Did you? Praise God, that's awesome. What? Uh-huh. That's good. That's good.
I'm not hearing anything when it's muted. Is everyone still there? Hello?
Hello?
Is that Deanna?
No, this is Jane.
Okay, so...
Okay, well, ladies, welcome again to the week 4 live call of Beyond Breakthrough, Women's Empowerment University class. Here is a prophetic word called Trust Me to Deliver You to Your Promised Destination. I will make a way in this fast approaching desert where no way seems possible. I will not allow what I have set in motion in your life to end in disaster. I have laid tracks under the sand of your developing future that are not yet visible to the natural eye. These tracks will rise up and catch the wheels of your life and deliver you across this undefined desert place. I have been this way before with many others just like you. I know what I am doing. Trust me to deliver you to your promised destination. Instead of crying out in fear at the end of these tracks, you will cry out in joy for what I have done. Between now and the end of these known tracks, let the remaining moments reveal the true colors of your faith, developing you and maturing you so that you are not deficient in any way for the coming new season. Your act of faith is to believe in the substance of tracks not yet seen. For I am about to do something new. See, I have already begun. Do you not see it? I will make a pathway through the wilderness. Isaiah 43:19. Tonight we're going to have a whole lot of scripture. So I hope you have your pencils and your journals ready. We are going to talk about this final piece. We're going to talk about demonic oppression, why we get stuck, why it seems like some things or some strongholds are harder to get rid of than others. And then we're going to talk about what we need to do after as a follow-up program to our breakthrough experience.
Come on, baby.
I think it's really easy that we forget that the battle we face is not of this world, that we are in a battle every day with unseen forces that try to take advantage of us, utilizing situations that we go through, people that are involved in different circumstances. But we have to remember that our battle is not a battle of this world. It is a battle for the world. Because we are not in it. We are in it, but we are not of it. We are not of this world. And so a lot of the battle that we face, we can't battle it according to the world either. So we have to partner with the Holy Spirit. We have to tell us, we have to ask Him to tell us where we need to be focusing. We need to do what He tells us to do. We need to pray how He tells us to pray. We need to take authority over the powers of darkness. We need to remember to pray, wrestle, and win. So, we're going to start out with a prayer. Lord Jesus, I believe that You died on the cross for my sins and rose again from the dead. You redeemed me by Your blood, and I belong to You. I thank You, Lord Jesus, for Your shed blood, which cleanses me from all sin. I want to live for you. I come to you as my deliverer. I now confess all of my sins, known and unknown. I repent of them, and I ask you, forgive me. I renounce them all. I forgive others as I want you to forgive me. Forgive me now and cleanse me with your blood. I repent of any way I have given place to the enemy. You know my special need, my need to obtain freedom from things that bind me, torment me, defile me, my need to be free from every evil or unclean spirit. I claim the promise of your word that whoever calls upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ shall be delivered. I call upon you now, Lord Jesus. Deliver me and set me free. I renounce Satan, all his works, and all of his workers. I loose myself from Satan in the name of Jesus Christ, and I command you, Satan, you and your demons, to leave me. All this I do in the name and on the authority of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you. Amen. And now we are going to just fill the entire atmosphere with the Word of God. If you want to close your eyes and just let this be spoken over you, if you want to write this down and take notes, you may want to have references. These are these right here are scriptures that demons hate them. So if you get like me and you are fully aware that you are in the middle of a spiritual battle, these are some of my go-to verses just to declare to the powers of the air the Word of God. 1 John 3, verse 8, "For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil." Acts 10, verse 38, "How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil." Colossians 2, 15, "God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us and which was hostile to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. When he had disarmed the rulers and authorities, he made a public display of them, having triumphed over them through him by the cross." Hebrews 2, 14 and 15, "He also himself likewise took part of the same flesh, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage." Luke 10, 18 and 19, "I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." Luke 11, verse 20, "But if I with the finger of God cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God is come upon you." Mark 16, verse 17, "And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils." Isaiah 14, 12 through 17, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, Is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof? Ezekiel 28:17-19. Your heart became proud on account of your beauty, and you corrupted your wisdom because of your splendor. So I threw you to the earth. I made a spectacle of you before kings. By your many sins and dishonest trade, you have desecrated your sanctuaries. So I made a fire come out from you, and it consumed you. And I reduced you to ashes on the ground in the sight of all who were watching. All the nations who knew you are appalled at you. You have come to a horrible end and will be no more. Revelation 12:11. Now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. And finally, Revelation 20:10. Fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. I love those verses. I love having verses that help me to wage war and remind me when it feels like all hell has broke loose against me and against my life, and fiery darts are coming at me from every angle, that I have the word of God to stand on, that the devil is defeated. He is defeated, that we are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus, that we have the victory. We have the victory. We already have it. It's already been obtained for us. Tonight I want to take a look at some doorways, because if we are not aware of doorways where we become open to demonic oppression, then we won't even have any idea how this stuff has come into our life. So not only are we going through a process of removing this stuff from our life, but becoming very aware of certain doorways where these things can come in. So demonic oppression typically comes where there has been an open door. Okay? And demons are like bullies, okay? They love to come in and harass and oppress and suppress and torment us, keep us from not experiencing the freedom that Jesus said we would have. Right? So these are not by any means the only ways, the only open doors, but these are some of the primary ways. Genesis 4:7 says, "And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door, and its desire is for you, but you must master it." If you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door, and its desire is for you. The thief comes but to steal, kill, and destroy. He's not trying to slow dance. He's trying to kill you. He's seeking whom he may devour, who he can shred from limb to limb and leave in pieces of a devastated life. So, we've already talked about inherited curses, right, where sometimes we're dealing with our daddy's devils, right? Or our forefathers, the things that our family has wrestled with for generations, right? These things can come and can manifest soon after birth, or they may hide out for a little while and then show up once a circumstance in life comes and creates a situation where this familiar spirit is waiting to see, will we take the bait? Will we bite? Will we give it access to operate in our life as well? Right? So we can inherit them down in the family line as well. We can pass them on to our children, right? They come down from our ancestors who may have committed certain sins or come into agreement with the enemy in lies about who God is, what to expect in this world, what our identity is, how we find our validity and our place and our purpose and our power, right? So once those doors are open and there's an agreement made, then we have this door is wide open. And it leaves us very, very open to everything that was suffered in generations past. Now we are open to it. So this, for a lot of us, might have been the starting point or the very first entry point, right? So this is a place where demons can be given a legal right to enter a family and carry out, wreak all kinds of havoc. Then we have another doorway. Sins of the flesh. Now, by far, sins of the flesh are the door that we most frequently open to invite the enemy in to destroy us. This is especially true if the sin is repeated and becomes a pattern, leading to a lifestyle of indulging the flesh. Sin doesn't have to be anything exotic for us to have demonic oppression come into a door. Sin can just be the garden variety type, anything. Any weakness of the flesh. When we are operating according to the flesh instead of according to the spirit, then we are acting out our carnal desires and working in opposition of the Spirit of God. So we have to take our thoughts captive. We have to exercise self-control, a fruit of the Spirit. We have to pray and fast. We have to partner with the Holy Spirit to ask these things, to ask to be shown these things, that the Holy Spirit would reveal to us sins of the flesh. Now, a lot of us, we don't really need the sins of our flesh brought to our attention. We are very clear on what the sins of our own flesh are. Here are some common areas where typically we might indulge our carnality. Anger, right? We may give ourselves permission to vent our anger on others. Anger can even lead to violence, even more violent thoughts, even if we don't act out our violence. We may have violent thoughts. What about fear? The Bible says, fear not. Fear and worry often lead to sinful ways of coping. There's a ton of types of fear, right? This is one way that I was taking a look at how a tremendous spirit of fear can come in. If you've had an accident or an illness, a loss of job, anything that made your security feel threatened, fear typically has a doorway. Fear of not being provided for, fear of not being protected, fear of being rejected, fear of being left alone, fear of not being able to handle the pressure, all kinds of fears, fear of the unknown. What in the world is going to happen? Fear. But God didn't give us a spirit of fear. That's a spirit. What about greed and covetousness? We're told not to covet, right? Jealousy and envy, right? When we're envious, how do you feel when somebody else gets a promotion that you felt you deserved? You were entitled to it. How do you feel when somebody else is blessed? How do you feel if somebody else is blessed and you feel like you're doing everything right in your life? You go to church, you worship the Lord, you have a Bible study, you read your word, you pray, you do all of these things, and yet it seems like everybody else can do whatever they want and they can still be blessed by God. I remember in one of our classes, a few classes ago, Donna had said, others can, I can't. But right here what we're talking about is, does jealousy and envy sneak in as a sin of the flesh? This will give the enemy opportunity, right? What about rebellion? Rebellion, right? In Ephesians, it speaks of walking in disobedience or rebellion, right? And 1 Samuel states that rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. So those of you that are doing your checklist and are writing things down, and you may see, well, I've never participated in witchcraft. If you've ever been rebellious, then you've participated in witchcraft. What about pride? Pride, the original sin of Satan. We heard that in a few verses. And it leads to many wrong actions, right? And we heard on one of our days early on in this class, pride can hide. Pride can hide, right? It's often the sin most hidden from us. 1 John 2, verse 16 speaks of the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. So these three areas incorporate all possible areas of pride: lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, right? 1 Timothy 3, 6 and 7 is a caution to protect novices as well as the experienced from being lifted up with pride, right? Maybe you've become an expert. Maybe this whole pride thing is now a familiar spirit. You have spent so much time next to it, it knows everything about you. It knows how you're going to overreact. It knows how you're going to jump to conclusions. It knows how you're going to lose your cool when you feel like something is not fair. You deserved better than that. It knows exactly how you're going to act, right? Then we have other verses, too, that demonstrate the I word, like we heard Satan, I will, I will, I will, I will, I will. We have to be very careful. We have to be very balanced that we don't think of ourselves more highly than we ought, nor more lowly than we ought. We need to remember who we are in Christ Jesus. But we need to not be high and lofty and constantly feeling entitled to things. Then we have illness. Illness. Illness can provide an opportunity for demons to enter, right? Through trauma or accidents. Have you ever noticed, you may have, when you're strong and you're healthy and somebody comes to you for prayer, boy, you feel like you could pray the fire of heaven down. You have so much faith. But what happens when your kids are sick? Are we picking up the phone and calling somebody and please pray for my children? Are we putting their name on the church prayer list, right? We suddenly feel a little less strong in our faith. What about when we ourselves are sick? Do you feel like your defenses are down, like you're more open to attack, right? See, demons love to take advantage of our vulnerability and kick us while we're down. They don't play fair. They're not trying to play fair. Remember, our enemy's plan is to steal, kill, and destroy, right? Now, some of us, when we've become sick for a long time, then we've used drugs. Right? And in the Bible, it talks about pharmakeia, and not that medicines are bad, so don't hear that. Please don't go and say that the philosophy of Women's Empowerment University is that nobody should take medicines. That's not what I'm saying. I am saying that we need to be very cautious and operate with a whole lot of wisdom in times that we already feel less up on our fight, less able to fight for ourselves, not on our A game, we're in pain, we're worried about the things that need to get taken care of that aren't getting taken care of, and then we add medical drugs on top of it, right? So we have illnesses that can be a point. Now, what I don't want you to hear in this class is I don't want everybody to get all paranoid. I don't want everybody to start seeing demons behind every bush. What I do want is that while you're going through the breakthrough process, I want you to be aware. I want you to be knowledgeable. The Word of God says, "My people perish for lack of knowledge." So while you're praying and fasting, the Holy Spirit can bring to your attention an area that you may not have considered. a lot of times when doing deliverance prayer, asking somebody, when they come up to share something that's going on with them, and we ask, was there a particular moment when this warfare began? And there are a great many times that there was a trauma that happened. There was a shocking event, something very devastating. There was a tremendous soul or spirit wound that happened, an accident. And then from that, depression can start to settle in. We don't have a renewed mind. We've had an open door with an what about an emotional trauma? A whole different type of trauma. That's a doorway too. Not just a physical trauma that caused us to experience fear and loss, but emotional traumas are very common as well. These are also potential open doors, right? We have experiences that have fractured our defense mechanism, right? The Bible says to diligently guard our heart, for out of it flow the issues of our life. When we've had an emotional trauma happen, the fortress of our heart has been invaded. Maybe we didn't even see it coming. It was somebody that was very close to us. Maybe it was a progressive trauma that happened over time and then was devastating at the end, right? Maybe a breakup of a relationship, a divorce, an unexpected death, a job loss, abuse, right? There are even more severe forms of emotional and physical trauma, things like violence and rape, things of that nature. If you've been robbed or had things stolen from you, then we have been traumatized. And then a spirit of control wants to come up and say, you need to be in control. You need to always have your guard up. You need to always make sure that you're protected. And then we have that, and we agree with it. You're right. You're right. Can never let my guard down. Sleep with one eye open. Look over my shoulder. Turn around and walk backwards. All of these things, now we feel like we have to be in control, that we have to protect ourselves. And that familiar can get close to us. If you've been traumatized, you may be very jumpy, right? This isn't a guaranteed symptom. But those of us that have not felt safe in our environments where we've been traumatized or abused, then a slamming door, we can jump. Somebody comes up behind us and touches us. Heaven forbid that that happens. Somebody comes up behind, and my children love to come up behind each other and go, boo, and make the other one scream, and they think that that's funny. Oh, that is not cool to do to me. I really, really dislike that because I've been traumatized. And so my spirit remembers the feeling of feeling suddenly scared, and I don't like that. What about a passive trance state of mind? Now, what does this mean? I'm not talking about, you know, you've actually been hypnotized, put into a trance. I'm talking about this induced mental state where we just try to numb everything out, just forget about everything, voluntarily letting go. Now, some of us, you know my story. I had a 10-year run with methamphetamine, so I actually did escape through drugs for 10 years. Certain types of music can do this. Meditation like yoga or mantras, different things like that. Even watching TV to numb out our mind can put us in a passive or trance state of mind. Now, this can also happen during anesthesia, right? When we go in for operations, some of us, we hit this kind of a trance state of mind where we don't remember anything. The experience of being anesthetized, even though it wasn't self-induced, leaves us with our mind unguarded. This is a really, really critical area. We have to keep the mind of Christ. We have to do this battle in our mind to make sure that our minds are constantly fixed on Him, right? And then there's a doorway of occult involvement, right? Occult involvement. So some of us, our family members were involved in things, different forms of idolatry can be included in occult involvement. The word occult just means hidden, right? Occult involvement means looking for knowledge and or power in hidden sources other than the true and living God. And this, when we search it in other sources other than God, eventually leads to allegiance or worship of those other sources. Some of us, we've had times in our life where we've read our horoscopes or astrology or numerology or gone to a Ouija board or used an eight ball, even innocently as a child, right? Your friend said, hey, we can do this. This will be so cool. We can get answers from this, right? So participation in occult activities amounts to rebellion against God. And typically, it's driven by a lust for power through knowledge and control. I know where I can get answers. I know where I can go to get answers. I'll go to a fortune teller. I'll go to a palm reader. Maybe it's not even that. Maybe it's just a very innocent, oh my gosh, I was just flipping through the newspaper, and there were the horoscopes. And I'm not really into that thing. I don't, build my life upon it. But it was so bizarre. I just happened to read mine today, and it was spot on. Just that little bit of temptation can give you the knowledge that the next time you're seeking an answer, if you feel like maybe God's not answering you in the time frame that you want, there may be that little temptation. Hey, I wonder what my horoscope has to say today. Hey, I wonder, what the stars have to say. So there are lots and lots of different forms of occult that we can find in the Bible. I don't want to spend a whole lot of time on that, but there have been generational sins that have been passed down through occult activities. And should the Holy Spirit reveal this to you, definitely pray and fast. Break every covenant, even if it's a sins of the father, places that power was tapped into by family members. My mom did numerology, and many years ago she would say, I've ran your numbers, and I think you'd be really interested to know. Well, I was never interested to know, even before I was filled with the Holy Spirit and walking with the Lord. I had that sense in my spirit that wasn't right. But my mom was very convinced. Well, I've even had to break that power of that generational sin of the father off so that tempting spirit doesn't try to get in there, doesn't try to get to my kids as a means of understanding things that they feel that they want to know outside of God's timing. I want to give us a few ways. Since this is our last call, I know that some of you still have a few days that you're going to go back over and redo the class. You have lifetime access to the pre-recorded messages, and now all of these live calls have been recorded. So I know you'll go back and you'll do a refresher. I know some of you originally did Empowering You for Breakthrough, and you're peeling this onion layer by layer, and you're trying to get down to the core. So I want to just brush over some categories of ways that we can partner with the Holy Spirit to reveal where there may be additional areas for us to break through. So we can identify areas in our body. Okay, this could be sexual sin of any kind throughout your lifetime. Might include adultery, fornication, pornography, masturbation, uninvited sexual relationship, right? That might be incest, rape, or molestation. If you have things from your childhood, break the power of those spirits off, those things that infiltrated the body. Generational weakness, right? Generational weakness. just addictions that might have been passed down, addictions to alcohol or gluttony, eating, food. We've talked about that one early on, I think, in our first call, how families pass down everything that we do, we eat. Some families, every celebration is eating. Some families, every problem that arises, we can fix it with food. Some people, we're bored, so we eat. I call that grazing. If it's not a mealtime and my kids are bored and I'm not going to let them do what they want to do, I will find them grazing in the kitchen, right? So we just generally may have a weakness in our body, something that, you know, we find that we're tempted to do. We may have an area in our soul, right? A resentment, anger in any form, hatred in any form, fear in any form, envy in any form, in case you're not getting this is in any form, unforgiveness, which of course can turn into bitterness, and none of us want to be drinking the bitter water. None of us want a root of bitterness rising up, defiling everything. What about rejection, loneliness, hopelessness, or despair? Right? Criticism and gossip. These are areas of our soul, okay, where we need to be asking the Holy Spirit to show us if there are sins of the Father, if there are ungodly beliefs around these things, pride and arrogance. It's a soul area. Vengeance, feeling like we just want God to take care of this for us. And, of course, we have the verse that says, "Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord." But if our heart's desire is to see vengeance done upon somebody, then that may be an area that we want to take a look at. We have a vengeful soul toward this person. Trauma and all of its effects, complexes that we may have received as a result of trauma, fears, fixations. Some of us have become fixated, and if we look at the things that we're fixated on, typically there's an underlying root of control there. Some of us are fixated on things being a certain way, fixated on the schedule going exactly according to plan, fixated on the budget having to be just so. Now, I'm not talking in balance where it's good to budget. I'm talking fixated on it, can't move on from it, almost obsessively compulsive about it. Cleaning the house, fixated on everything having to be just so, or else you are having a moment. Greed. Greed is a soul area to look at, right? And then we have spirit areas. So we already talked about occult experiences, right? That might be something like if you've ever used a Ouija board, if you've ever read your horoscope, fortune telling. We touched on witchcraft a little bit. It might be something like rebellion. Rebellion is as witchcraft. So if you have this area in your spirit, then work with the Holy Spirit and break off any agreement that you've made. Close any door where this stuff has been given permission. Manipulation and control. Those are parts of witchcraft. Manipulation and control. If you are constantly manipulating people to get them to do things, even if you think they're things that are right and need to be done, but you are manipulating them. You are controlling them. You are trying to play God in their life to make things come about to the expected end that you desire. Those are forms of witchcraft, right? Curses, inner vows, those are the areas that we talked a little bit about breaking the vows, the ungodly beliefs that we have come into agreement with, things that we have said with our mouth, vows that we have made, I will never or I will always. We have to be very careful with things of that nature. And generational weakness, again, in the spirit, this can be an area. I want to real quick talk about some hindrances. If we find an area where we feel kind of stuck and we just feel like, man, this thing I can't shake it. I can't get this thing off of me. It seems like no matter what I do, I can just never lose this thing. The number one thing, I'm not saying that this is always, but it's very, very, very common, and I'm sure you've heard me pray it before. Always ask the Holy Spirit first, is there any unforgiveness in my heart toward anyone? Now, I have a big 12-step background. That was how I got clean and sober, was in 12 steps. And part of that was looking at not only did I have resentments, did I need to forgive people, but were there places and things that I need to take a look at? One of them was the court system for me. My parents went through a brutal divorce, and I had a lot of unforgiveness towards judges and the judicial system. I felt like there were things I was entitled to, and it wasn't fair, and I was angry. To the degree that I had a traffic ticket to pay, and I was willing to go to jail before I was willing to go to step into the courthouse to go pay the silly little fine. So when we think about it, it may have been something that happened to you in your childhood, and it seemed like it was so petty. You never even thought about it, but now you're going through this breakthrough process, and all of a sudden, you remember being the little girl that wasn't invited to the popular kid's birthday party. Everybody in the class, it seemed like, was invited but you. Might be something like that. Resentment, anger, and bitterness. We have to look for that. If we feel like we're stuck, we need to ask the Holy Spirit to reveal if there's any resentment, anger, or bitterness. Might be a curse or a generational problem. And again, we have to pray and fast and ask the Holy Spirit to show us. Maybe past involvement in the occult. Sometimes things like this are a great way to handle this, is make a list of everything that you're aware of in your life and in your parents' life and in your grandparents' life. And if there's any of this stuff that you know they did, just renounce it in the name of Jesus. What if we have a lack of desire for healing? I mean, really, like the man next to the pool, and Jesus said, do you want to be made whole? Do you want to be made whole? Rise and walk. Difficulty in believing that God will heal you, right? That's doubt and unbelief. We need to really ask ourselves, Lord, even in my belief, help my unbelief. If there's unbelief in the way, the Bible says that that when we doubt, we are unstable in all of our ways. Right? When we have a double mind, when we're double-minded, we're unstable in all of our ways. So sometimes we just need to stop there and confess our unbelief and ask God, build us up in this area of believing that you will do what you said you would do, God. Fear. Do we have fear? Unresolved guilt. Disobedience. Unbroken inner vows. We've talked about these inner vows before, these things inside that we've made agreements to. And we need to break each and every one of them. Ungodly soul ties. Now, a soul tie, I know that we heard about this in healing and deliverance during our pre-recorded messages, but a soul tie is not necessarily sexual. And we can have good soul ties. Maybe you went to a church for 10 years, and it was the best 10 years of your life, but now God has said it's time to move on, and you just don't feel like you can break your tie. You have become dependent upon things there. So if God says it's time to move on, then it's time to move on. So we need to ask God, do we have any ungodly soul ties? And tonight, as we wrap up, we're actually going to pray a soul tie prayer together. Is there sin? Is there sin in your life? Right? And then we've been talking about, is there the presence of a spirit? We're not battling against flesh and blood here. Okay? So these are some things. So now I want to talk to you real quick before we do this closing prayer and I open it up for a few star six times. What do we do now? We've had all of this powerful information. We've had all of these tremendous breakthroughs. We've overturned some generational sins and curses and all of these things that might go back generations. We've made all of our lists, and oh my goodness, we've identified so many ungodly beliefs, and we've told all of these things, get out in the name of Jesus. Get thee behind me. You're not welcome here anymore. So we've done all of these things, but how do we make sure that we stay free? Because if these spirits are familiar, and if it's true, where the Bible says that these spirits can leave and go to an arid or a dry place and they rest, then they will come back and they're looking to see if the house is in order. And if it's not, it says that they will come back, not just by themselves, but with seven friends, stronger than the first strong man. So how do we make sure that we're not doing yo-yo deliverance stuff where we're serving all these eviction notices, telling all these demons to get out, but then our house is not in order? And God forbid that these things would come back to torment us again, but would come back with friends. So here are some things that we need to do to maintain our freedom. First of all, we have to consciously allow Jesus to be the Lord whom we obey in all areas of our life. We need to consciously allow Jesus to be Lord. That means we obey him in all areas of our life. Now, if we have areas that the Lord has already revealed and told us that we needed to address and we're not, then that's disobedience. We need to maintain normal practices for a healthy spiritual life. We have to keep a daily quiet time. It's helpful to keep a journal of your thoughts because the Holy Spirit is going to continue to complete this good work that has been begun in you. We have to read our Bible daily. Have to read our Bible daily. Have to have a renewing of our mind by the Word of God. If it's possible, we need to get into a live Christian fellowship to not forsake the gathering of the saints, to come together and come together often. We have to be continually filled with the Holy Spirit. We have to take responsibility for our thought life. We cannot expect others to fight our battles for us. We cannot be passive, and we can't drift back into old patterns that have caused us trouble before. You may find when you're coming out of an old habit that it's like a war. Every single day you have to wrestle trying to make this new habit. And then how easy is it just to fall back into old patterns? Well, you know, I've been doing pretty good. I think, you know, I've been on top of my diet and I've been exercising. I think I deserve when I go on vacation, I'm going to eat whatever I want. And I'm not going to go to the gym. I know that there's a gym in my hotel room. But and it's okay to give yourself permissions to rest. But think about how hard it is to get back on track once you've let your program slip away, right? We have to walk in forgiveness as a lifestyle, right? Forgiveness is a lifestyle. Forgiveness is a decision that we make, not a feeling that we feel. Quick forgiveness is important. No matter how badly we feel hurt, we have to be quick to forgive, to not let the sun go down on our anger. You may have to forgive someone several times for the same hurt, or maybe even for different hurts. And we have to make restitution if we need to. If we cheated somebody, we need to repay them. If you need to apologize to someone, do it. If you need to ask for forgiveness, ask for it, right? And then here are some things that are also critical. We have to remember that the power of the demons is broken, but that the devil will present new opportunities to sin. So this is not just a one-time deal and then we skate off into the sunrise. Woohoo, we're free. We need to remember that he's going to have countermeasures, right? Other temptations are going to come. How many of you felt like you had tremendous victories and then bam, all of a sudden, like the biggest form of temptation you had ever faced was right there? We have to remember to be active in our work, in our warfare, because it's likely going to continue, right? He's very firm in his resolve to steal, kill, and destroy. Okay, so we have to remember to remain active. We have to take the offense and bind any and all demons, right? Those that are on the inside, those that are on the outside, and we have to keep our list going. We have to remember to stay active in our walk with the Lord and give no place to the enemy. Quickly repent, right? We need to do self-deliverance as things come up. That's it. Take those thoughts captive. Identify that ungodly belief. Break that vow that you made. Renounce that thing in the name of Jesus, right? We need to praise God. Praise God. Okay? And we need to be in a place where we're accountable, where we can receive prayer support and encouragement. You ladies have lifetime access to this. As long as Facebook exists, you have access to each other. I'm going to wrap up in this soul tie prayer. Then I'm going to turn the record button off, and we'll turn it over for a question and answer session. Father, in the name of Jesus, I submit myself completely to you. I confess all of my emotional and sexual sins, as well as my ungodly soul ties. I choose to forgive each person that I have been involved with in any wrong way. I ask you, Lord, to forgive me for my sin that resulted in ungodly ties. Lord, I receive your forgiveness. Thank you for forgiving me and for cleansing me. I choose to forgive myself, to no longer be angry at myself, to hate myself or punish myself. Lord, I break my ungodly soul ties. I release myself from those people, and I release them from me. As I do this, Lord, I pray that you would cause them to be all that you want them to be, and that you would cause me to be all that you want me to be. Lord, please cleanse my mind from all memories of ungodly unions, so I'm totally free to give myself to you and to my mate, if I have one. I renounce and cancel the assignments of all evil spirits attempting to maintain these ungodly soul ties. Lord, thank you for restoring my soul to wholeness. Let me walk in wholeness by your grace. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.